Hello, this is my Holy Week Diary for April the 6th, 2023. Today is Maundy Thursday. This is a reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. This is how you are to eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Last night, on my way back across the parking lot to the rectory after a Bible study, I paused and spent a few minutes staring at the full moon. Now, full moons happen frequently enough that they aren't all that special per se, but last night's full moon was significant. It was significant because it was the full moon which marked the beginning of Passover. According to tradition, Jews have been celebrating Passover for over 3,000 years, dating back to the time of Moses on the night before their deliverance by God from slavery in Egypt. According to the gospel accounts, the events of Holy Week are intertwined with Passover, which itself is a multi-day observance. Passover is celebrated according to a lunar calendar, which is the reason it happens around the same time every year, but not on the exact same dates. Early on, Christians attempted to synchronize the last days of Jesus as told in the Gospels with the Passover, which means the date of Easter moves about on the calendar as well. While scholars debate whether or not what Christians commemorate as the Last Supper occurred while Jesus was celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples or at another time during the week-long festival of unleavened bread, the connection early Christian theologians drew between the Passover meal and Holy Eucharist is hard to ignore. After I got home last night, I spent a good while reading various articles about Passover and how the customs around its observance have both remained remarkably fixed and have also evolved through the centuries. The key feature of the Passover Seder isn't the set menu per se, but it is the way in which each food on the plate serves as a means of telling both the foundational story of the Jews, the Exodus from Egypt, and also reflecting on the Jews' continuing journey with God in the present day. The telling of the story always begins the same way, with the youngest person at the table asking the question, "How is this night different from all other nights?" Tonight, plenty of Christians will gather, not in homes around dining room tables, but in churches all over the world. We will hear the story of that first Passover read, and we will also hear the story of Jesus last night with his disciples, where he washed their feet in a humble act of service. We will further hear the Apostle Paul's admonition to continue to observe Jesus' mandate to participate in the sacred meal of Christ's body and blood, the Eucharist. This night is different for Christians because we remember how Jesus' words at the table with his friends transformed a simple meal of bread and wine into the sustenance that has nourished his followers for 2,000 years. When the Israelites observed the first Passover, they were a people under oppression and in bondage to Egyptians. The people Moses would lead out towards the Promised Land had never known freedom and had no memory of their homeland because Egypt was all they had ever known. They ate hurriedly because they were getting ready for an escape that would mark the beginning of a journey no one could imagine. On Maundy Thursdays, when Christians receive the bread and wine, we recognize we are at a beginning as well, the beginning of the three holiest days of the Christian year. We recognize that before we can get to the glory of Easter, we must first journey through the confusion of Thursday night, the agony and desolation of Good Friday, and the somberness of Holy Saturday. I confess I often feel the disconnect of being a liturgical Christian most profoundly on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. The world around me goes on about its frenetic business. The talking heads still talk. The social media channels are still crackling with the latest inane memes and the latest cultural outrage. The gears of capitalism continue to grind. Easter Sunday is an opportunity for a family feast with hardly any awareness of the Lenten fast that preceded it. To be honest, this is where I can find myself a tad bit envious of my Jewish spiritual siblings. The preparations for the Passover meal have been days in the making. To make time to gather with family and friends has its own logistical challenges. To stop everything long enough to remember an event properly and to tell the story in a specific way is a witness to the power of faith, family, and tradition. Tonight, I will lead another Maundy Thursday liturgy. My hope is that even if we don't ask the question specifically, we will be reminded through the power of words and actions why, for Christians, this night is different from all other nights. Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.